It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you so much for joining us. Each of you are treasured, you are valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Live with intention. You were made for this moment. And thank you to this team that I get to work with, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, Jen, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It's because of all of us working together that we get to bring this show to you Monday through Friday. Producer Steve, happy Wednesday.
Well, thank you, and back at you.
And would recommend that people check out our website. There's a lot of great information there. We have our recaps and podcasts of our shows there, so you can get that. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. That way you will get the first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and podcasts. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who contribute to the work that we're doing. We are an independent voice, and we look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. We are searching for truth and clarity. And it's important to remember that it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion. This latest silent thief is government-induced inflation. And Steve, one other thing I was thinking about it, and we'll be talking with Lauren Levy down at the bottom of the hour, that the Federal Reserve, we've kept interest rates really artificially low. And actually, Murray Sabrin was on several weeks ago and had said something, and I've been contemplating it. And that is a different kind of a thief of government-induced policies. And that is having interest rates so low, even though that's positive for people that are trying to buy a home. Think about the people that have saved and are looking for a return on their money where they may not want to be taking as much risk as what is in the stock market. Keeping these interest rates artificially low, in a way, is robbing them of that potential opportunity. What's your thoughts on that, Steve?
Well, now you're talking about at the investment level and or
I'm saying at CDs, money markets, with interest rates so artificially low, those that may be getting into later years don't want to take as much risk with their money, with interest rates so artificially low, they're not getting that return on their money, which in a free and fair market would be a higher return.
Well, this government, meddling or influencing, it can't seem to find the middle of the road. It's always to the one side or the other, and you're going to have this.
That's why government shouldn't be meddling in all this.
Oh.
Now, I know it's going to be difficult to walk all that back, but that is the point, is government is made up of humans, and humans that actually do not have to be accountable for the decisions that they make. And that's why we get into government getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think, when we go to the bill of the day, we can see how government has made something more expensive, creating crime. But we'll get to that in just a minute.
Well, reminds me, and we did it a month or so ago, the Thomas Sowell quote, and I don't have it in front of me, so I'm paraphrasing. But he said, the dumbest thing we can do is put people in charge of things who don't have any direct consequence from it.
Right. And, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out you're going to get bad policy over time on that. But we'll get to our bill of the day in just a moment. Want to recommend that people listen to America's Veteran Stories this Sunday at 3 p.m. We interviewed Betty Cranmer, and she's 100 years old, and she grew up in Britain. And so certainly saw the Battle of Britain, which was when Hitler and the Germans were bombing London and trying to actually take Great Britain over. A fascinating interview. And so recommend that you check that out. We recorded that earlier this week. Also, today is Wednesday, so it's Wings Day at Hooters Restaurants. And you can buy 20 wings. You get 10 for free. And that's available all day long at Hooters Restaurants. And that's whether or not they have breaded, they have the naked, the smoked, which I really like, or their boneless wings. And that's valid for to go or dine in. And that would be at their locations in Loveland, Aurora, Westminster, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. So actually, that would be a good thing to do today if you don't want to cook. And another thing that I wanted to mention, a couple of things, is our media training workshop that I'm doing with Helen Raleigh. And that's going to be on February 19th. And you can sign up at my website, kimmunson.com. Steve, I can't believe it. We just rolled it out 2 days ago, and we have either one or two spots left. That's it. I'm so excited. It's going to be really, really good.
Well, I'm hoping this will be a little bit more calmer than your normal Wednesday night gathering. But, you know, there is a goal in mind here. So, yeah, that's encouraging.
Yeah, very excited about that. And then also you've been hearing the promotions for this for the January 29th Senatorial Forum. It's being put on by the Longmont Republican Women with the help of the Boulder County Republican Women and the Boulder County GOP. And you can get your tickets there. We've got the flyer on the website as well. And then we will be working to get the flyer to you for the January 27th gubernatorial forum that's going to be put on by the Colorado Hispanic Republicans. But you can find that at their website right now. And that is the Colorado Hispanic Republicans. Let's get over to our quote for today. And I ended up just going through a whole bunch of different quotes. And sometimes that's like a rabbit hole when I'm trying to find the quotes, because I want to think of things that might inspire you or give you information. And somehow I ended up with Louisa May Alcott. And she was born in Germantown, Pennsylvania. So it made me think of you, producer Steve, because you're a Pennsylvania boy. But she was born in 1832. She died in 1888. She had three sisters, and they were primarily educated by their father. So that was they were homeschooled. He was a teacher, philosopher, A. Bronson Alcott, and raised on the practical Christianity of their mother, Abigail May. She spent her childhood in Boston and in Concord, Massachusetts, where her days were enlightened by visits to Ralph Waldo Emerson's library, excursions into nature with Henry David Thoreau, and theatricals in the barn at Hillside, which is now Wayside. And it says, like the character of Jo March in Little Women, young Louisa was a tomboy. And Steve, I read all of those books as a child. I love to read. And I loved all those books, Little Women and all the other ones that she'd written. But this is what she said. We all have our own life to pursue, our own kind of dream to be weaving. And we all have the power to make wishes come true as long as we keep believing. And she certainly was in a very trying time. She lived through the American Civil War. And those were certainly trying times. We have trying times as well. But I just thought that just hit me as I was looking for our quotes for the day today.
Well, we had talked about the quote earlier, and I'm talking about dreams, the dreams of Americans, and they're all as unique as the people, but then... Who's like the big set of boots stomping through the garden of our dreams is the government. So I thought you were going to make some kind of a counterpoint there.
Well, I think that you did that very well. And that's why with this whole American idea that you just mentioned, this vision of the Declaration that all men are created equal with rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and the Constitution puts in place guardrails around the government to keep government small so that the individual is big. And when we unleash the dreams of everyday individuals, you get America. And I continue to have people remind me that if America fails, there is no place else for people to go that love freedom. And if America was such a bad idea, as when we get over here, we're going to talk a little bit about the social studies thing. this social studies curriculum here that's being proposed here in Colorado. If America was such a bad idea, then why are there thousands of people trying to get in here illegally and legally? And that is really the question to ask, because to my knowledge, I don't think that they're storming the border at Russia, Cuba, China, or North Korea. And you just have to ask yourselves, if America was so bad, then why is everybody trying to get here? And then why are people trying to destroy the American idea? We are in an ideological civil war right now, an ideological Normandy. And that is why it is so important for each and every one of us to get our brains around these issues so that we can understand what is at stake, that we can converse in this battle of ideas with our family, our neighbors, our colleagues, and we cannot shrink from this battle of ideas out there. There's been this censorship that we've seen from big media and also from big tech and big social media. But there's also the censorship that occurs that when we are in conversations with people that we may perceive we may not agree with, that instead of respectfully and reasonably engaging in that battle of ideas, we shrink from that. And I was thinking again about this, Producer Steve, when we were going through those numbers yesterday on those vaccination numbers about the number of Democrats that would be in favor of having unvaccinated people be confined to their homes. Totally unbelievable, because we're getting more and more information about the efficacy of the vaccines. I mean, how many people have you talked to that or you know of that have gotten vaccinated, double vaccinated, boosted, and have gotten COVID? So the question is, why should you get the vaccination if you're going to get COVID anyway? Now, I know there's the argument out there that your symptoms will be milder. I'm not sure that there's been any studies done on that. And so, but that percentage, I was thinking about it yesterday, Steve, was probably maybe about 15 to 18%. And I think that there's always been probably a percentage of 15 to 18% of people that want to use tyrannical means on their neighbors. And the problem is they have a big microphone. That's why what we're doing, Producer Steve, is so important to combat that in this battle of ideas. And again, we can't let the big, big majority that loves freedom, loves individual sovereignty, loves the liberty to be able to make decisions about your own life. We cannot let that much smaller minority take over the narrative. And we're seeing that it's been very effective. And really since probably the 80s, which is coming out of the 60s, but by the 80s, it was when the radicals had actually gotten into education, heads at nonprofits, moving up the ladder in corporations. And that's where we really started to see this this movement, Producer Steve.
Well, agreed. And, you know, there are pros and cons to anything. But when it comes to social media, one of the descriptors was the fact that it gave everybody a microphone. And it's like, I'm not sure that's really a good thing. Not because somebody's saying something I don't personally like, but just because of this spreading of bad ideas and maybe in some cases brainwashing in effect?
Well, I always like to err on the side of freedom. The problem is the big media then deciding which microphones get to be louder than others.
Or heard at all. Yeah, okay.
Or heard at all. I think that's where the problem is.
Great point.
Okay, let's go to break. And when we come back, Patty is pulling a bill of the day. And this one is really interesting regarding catalytic converters and the rate of crime here in Colorado on these catalytic converters. So let's go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Don't miss your chance to hear from the Republican Senate candidates as they go up against Senator Michael Bennet. Longmont Republican Women present a Republican Senate Candidate Forum on Saturday, January 29th at Twin Peaks Charter Academy in Longmont. Doors open at 6 p.m., dinner is provided, and forum starts promptly at 7 p.m. Tickets cost $35 and no tickets will be sold at the door. Our very own Kim Munson will be moderating, so you don't want to miss it. Get your tickets at longmontrepublicanwomen.org today. Once again, find more information and get your tickets at longmontrepublicanwomen.org.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is kimmunson.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And that's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And thank you to all of you who support us. I want to talk a bit about this bill of the day. Patty is pulling one a day, and it's great because it helps keep you informed on different things out there. And this is Senate Bill 22009. It's titled The Recertification and Theft of Catalytic Converters. It does have bipartisan support on this. Democrat Senator Jinal, Senator Hissey, which is a Republican, Representative Byrd, and Representative Benavides, which are both Democrats. And it says, concerning the catalytic converters and in connection therewith establishing procedures for the evaluation and certification of aftermarket catalytic converters and enacting measures to address the theft of catalytic converters. Now, before we get into what the bill actually does, Colorado Politics, and the author is Hannah Metzger, had a piece about this. And it says that Colorado is experiencing an unprecedented rise in thefts of catalytic converters. And there's this bipartisan group of legislators which introduced this legislation. It says catalytic converters are exhaust emission control devices found in many lower emission and hybrid vehicles. The converters contain precious metals that are trading at record prices, leading to skyrocketing theft rates nationwide, according to the Catalytic Converter Theft Committee. If passed, Bill 22009 would make it illegal, beginning October 31st, to install, sell, or advertise any used, recycled, or salvaged catalytic converter unless it is an aftermarket catalytic converter certified by the installation and sale by the Air Quality Control Commission. Okay, that's a big problem right there, Producer Steve, because this is putting a whole bunch of new rules and regulations on something and giving the power to a bureaucracy who I have seen the Air Quality Control Commission has used their power to over on the fossil fuels industry work to really constrict our fossil fuel industry. And they're also over here working from a policy standpoint to get people out of their cars. So I see big problems with that, Producer Steve.
Well, we said the pre-call, this reared its ugly head originally in California, which, big surprise. And as she states later in further down in the article, that Colorado follows California emission standards requiring catalytic converters to be replaced with parts from the vehicle manufacturer. So this can lead to a cost upward of $5,000 for certain types or models of catalytic converters.
So that is a problem. That really does hurt people if their catalytic converter is stolen, because then their vehicle is not usable. And I find this interesting here by Representative Shannon Byrd, a Democrat from Westminster. Now, connect the dots here, my friends, is the Democrats here in Colorado, many of them have said our goal is to get people out of their cars. They want to take away your freedom of mobility and move you on to light rail or buses or bikes. So realize that that is public policy. That is their goal. That is their big goal over there. But what she says here makes a lot of sense. She said, thefts of catalytic converters are hurting a lot of people in significant ways, said Representative Shannon Byrd, Democrat Westminster, one of the sponsors of the bill. People need their cars. We need them for work and generally live our lives. Our bill will take away many of the incentives to steal catalytic converters and will stem the demand for their resale. I would actually, let's go to the next piece down here, a couple more lines. And it says, in Denver, thefts of catalytic converters increased by more than 15,000% from 2019 to 2021. In 2019, only 15 were stolen. In 2021, 2,359. But nationally, the catalytic converter thefts have quadrupled, but they're not up 15,000%. So we have to ask, why is that happening here in Colorado? We also had seen recent statistics that Colorado is number one in the nation for vehicle thefts. So perhaps maybe we don't need to pass a piece of legislation that is, and once again, gives a unelected bureaucracy power over our economy. Perhaps what we really need to address, as Patty and I were talking in a pre-call yesterday, and that is we need to address crime in Colorado instead of these little Band-Aids that people want to pass. Producer Steve, your thought on that?
Well, Band-Aid, yes, and yes, let's look at the crime side of it. I mentioned the puffer law, which really torques me, that you don't have the freedom to go out and start your vehicle ahead of time because somebody might come along and steal it. So therefore, you get nailed if you are violating the puffer law. And we won't look at the situation where there's criminals out there lurking and waiting for the opportunity to steal your car, or in this case, your catalytic converter. Well, I had another thought there, but now I went chased the rabbit down that hole. So, at any rate, your point is well made. Let's go after the crime aspect of. Oh, I know what I was thinking. How this skews the system, not directly in your face, but all right, you have your catalytic converter stolen. You go through all the steps to get it replaced, and you make a claim on your car insurance. And now look at the number of claims being made, and you know how the insurance industry is going to react to this, don't you?
Oh, good point. So that means everybody's rates are going to go up because of this.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's just go back to the problem is crime, and we need to have people that we elect that will address that. And of course, we've seen the Democrats, they were quiet during the summer of 2020 when downtown Denver was being destroyed. I know we're going to get over here to Lauren Levy, and so we're going to drill into this other piece more throughout the week. And I've had people reach out to me, and I need to actually get some folks on to focus on this. But this is from Complete Colorado by Will Johnson. And there is curriculum standards being considered for social studies here in Colorado. And you're not going to believe what some of the stuff is. They want to change it in social studies in first grade to teach multiple perspectives on the first Thanksgiving and the 4th of July. In sixth grade, how do groups or people become marginalized? In imbalanced fashion, the standards mention the Bill of Rights 3 times and indigenous peoples nearly 70 times. Oppression is a prevalent theme, but examples like America's inspiring defense of the free world in World War II or why countless immigrants view America as a land of hope are barely mentioned. It says it talks about their flaws, but doesn't talk about our great founding principles. In third grade, it has questions like, why do some groups such as African Americans, Asian Americans, indigenous peoples, Latinos, LGBTQ, and other minorities feel like their voices are not being heard? Once again, see how they're putting people into groups. It says, high school, how does the Electoral College impact people of color? And so this is curriculum that is being considered here here in Colorado, and we need to make our voices heard on this. So if you go to this piece in Complete Colorado, they actually have the link where you can make public comment. And that is titled Proposed Social Studies Standards Wrong for Colorado. We're going to drill into this a bit more throughout the next week. But those comments are due by February 1st. So would highly recommend that you go ahead and do that, because we need to, certainly America has our flaws, but my gosh, it's so unhealthy to focus only on our flaws. We have to acknowledge them, but we really need to focus on the big ideas, the things that are good on that. Steve, do you have any comments on that before we move on?
Well, I went through it lightly, and I'm thinking, this is brainwashing, no, 101, but it's also, while it's not in-your-face CRT, it seems to be like a backdoor approach to CRT, eh?
And that's why they can say, then, we aren't teaching CRT. That's why we have to be very vigilant on this. Okay, so my friends, I would really recommend that you go ahead, and we'll bring some more information on this, but this is very concerning, and all you have to do is just go to this piece in Complete Colorado. They have the link, and you can make some comments on that. Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, expert in the mortgage arena. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kim.
Hey, your voice is better. Last week, you had a little laryngitis, huh?
I had a little Omicron.
Is that what it was?
Yep.
Oh, boy. Okay.
It's all right. Well, I came and gone. It's like a head cold.
I'm glad you're feeling better. Lauren, yep. I was thinking about this. Interest rates have remained low, and which has been good for people that want to buy a house or want to refinance. And a lot of people have taken advantage of that. Our interest rates, first of all, I saw that there was some movement in the stock market that's been rather volatile. What has happened to interest rates?
They've gone up. They've done what the Fed was trying to do. It's actually been pretty violent, which is what tends to happen. This isn't the first time in the last many years that this has happened, but they've jumped to close to 3.5, and the 10-year Treasury yield is at its highest it's been since, I think, February of 2020, so in about 2 years. So they've gone back to their pre-COVID numbers.
So what's your thoughts about that, Lauren? And I know that you've helped a lot of people when interest rates were below 2%. I know that you really have helped them. 3.5% still is pretty reasonable in the scheme of things. Mm-hmm. But what's your thoughts about it, Lauren?
There's still people out there who have, believe it or not, rates in the 4s and 5s. I still see them from time to time. So there's still opportunity for those folks and for people who have high interest credit card debt and things to use the increased equity in their homes that we all have to pay down that debt and get a lower rate. But we're seeing home buyers, I think, realizing, wow, I don't want to miss this boat and end up with a much higher rate. So they're starting to kind of rush into the market, I think, and realizing, wow, the tendency is just wait, it'll be there. And then when it's not there, it's like, oh, shoot, now what do I do, you know?
Right. So those of us that sometimes procrastinate on different things are now like, oh, so if people want to have a consultation about what to do and a refinance or these reverse mortgages, I think are really important. Mm-hmm. And how old do you have to be for a
62.
Okay, 62. Anyway, there's no harm, no foul in giving you a call. There's no cost to that, and would recommend that they do that. What's anything else I'm missing this morning regarding interest rates, Fed, or anything that you want to comment on, Lauren?
No, you hit the nail on the head. They've gone up pretty quick. We'll see what happens when the Fed actually does have its next meeting and acts and see if they stabilize and the market calms down. But between now and then, we're in an interesting spot. But definitely call us at 303-880-8881, and we'll have a conversation and see if we can't help you.
Okay. Again, that's Lauren Levy, 303-880-8881. Lauren, thanks so much. You have a great day, and we will talk to you. Actually, you and Karen are going to be in studio next week, so I always look forward to that.
That's right. We'll see you then.
Okay, sounds great. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to have a really interesting conversation with Peter Zane. And he is a columnist for Real Clear Politics, and he's written a piece, The Psychodrama of American Politics. So stay tuned. You will not want to miss this.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. I thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force. Force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. Before we get over here to Peter Zane, I also want to acknowledge another one of our great sponsors, and that is Kirsch Insurance Group. They are specialists in the Medicare arena. They are a broker. They work with most all of the carriers here in Colorado. This whole Medicare thing is clear as mud to me. But right now they're in, I guess we're in an open enrollment period where if you have an Advantage plan, you can change it once. It all sounds like government to me. That's why you need Kirsch Insurance Group to help you navigate this. There's no cost to do that. So check out their website. That's ikirsch.com, ikirsch.com. I want to talk with Peter Zane. Really interesting. He is an American journalist. He's a columnist for Real Clear Politics in the News and Observer of Raleigh. His national awards include the Distinguished Writing Award for Commentary from the American Society of News Editors, and he's written an interesting piece, The Psychodrama of American Politics. Peter, welcome to the show.
Oh, good morning. Thanks so much for having me. I hope I'm better than clear as mud.
I like that. Yeah, it seems like whenever government gets involved, that's why we have to be searching for truth and clarity on all these issues. Now, I've read your piece, and I believe in the original Constitution. So as I was reading it, I'm kind of like, I'm not quite sure if I, you know, where I agree with you on that. So maybe beginning at the very first line, which really grabbed my attention, you said Democrats have a point when they complain that our elections are rigged against them. So unpack that a bit for me, Peter.
Sure. So essentially, they have won the popular vote in five of the last six presidential races, but they only have won three times. They, in general, I live in North Carolina, and so there's a lot of discussion of gerrymandering here. But the fact is that because Democratic voters are concentrated in certain areas, and Republicans are more spread out in suburban and rural areas, when you draw contiguous districts, when you don't have crazy ones that look like snakes, you're going to have an advantage of trying to keep communities together to rural and suburban voters as opposed to those packed tightly in Democratic cities. And obviously you have the Senate, where if you total up the total number of people who are represented by states that Democrats control versus Republicans, they have more people and fewer representatives in the Senate. So I agree with you about the Constitution and why those imbalances are there. But what I was trying to say to, because a lot of our readers at Real Clear Politics are probably conservative, is if the shoe were on the other foot, how would you feel about that? Wouldn't that upset you that you seem to get more votes and fewer results?
Well, and don't you think the founders, though, Peter, and that is why they set up both the House of Representatives and the Senate and the Electoral College was put in place so that the majority couldn't run roughshod over the minority. And because otherwise, if you just have a country that is ruled by the majority, ultimately that gets to the majority of the mob. And so I think people have seen this attack on the Electoral College. In fact, I don't know if you heard, there's a new social studies curriculum that's being introduced here in Colorado, which once again, one of the questions is to try to make people think the Electoral College is racist instead of explaining to our students what the founders were thinking in putting in place the Electoral College. There's been this assault on it, and it was really to prevent us from the government of the mob.
I totally agree with you, and in fact, that's really what the Constitution and the Bill of Rights is about, is so that you don't have a majority that can say, you're not allowed to say that. We don't like your words. We don't like your religion. So that if you are Amish, you're a tiny little group of people, the majority can't say you've got to violate your conscience by doing X and Y. So the you know, what's the beauty of America is in protecting in so many ways the minority group. I agree with you. What I was trying to do in my article was to say we are in warring camps, and so reaching out to readers who are conservative, I was trying to open up by saying, look, just imagine if the shoe were on the other foot. Would you be like, oh, yeah, no, I get it. There's the Constitution and whatever, and we keep winning 4 to 8 million more votes in presidential races and losing. But that's okay, because that's the way the you know, a very rational person could take a step back and go, yes, I agree. But I'm just saying, in the heat of battle, I understand why they're upset. I do. I don't know what you can do about it. But that's what I was trying to do, is to make that point as an entryway into how so much of the psychodrama now is, one, not being able to see the other side because we're only seeing things from our perspective. But two, you know, that perspective is often based on false narratives.
Okay. Well,
I can elaborate on that.
Yeah, and why don't you go ahead and elaborate on that? I have another thought, but please elaborate, since that's where we're at right now.
Oh, sure.
Continue.
Well, so on the right, the false narrative would obviously be Trump, who did not win by any reasonable measure in 2020. There was a lot of shenanigans going on in that election, and I highly recommend Molly Hemingway's book Rigged, which goes into all of that. But he didn't win. And in fact, he wrote a letter to the Wall Street Journal, President Trump, about 2 months ago, in which he detailed all of these irregularities. And the Journal ran it on their opinion page. And then the next day they said, all of these have been debunked. So one of the things that happens is that Trump and Biden and many others in the Democrat Party, not only do they put forward false narratives, but we're now at the point where they repeat narratives that have already been debunked. It's as though it doesn't matter what the truth is. And with Biden, obviously, when he said that the pullout of Afghanistan was perfect, when he said Build Back America wouldn't cost a cent, when he says that these reasonable laws, you know, voting reform, which you can support or not support, but the idea that Georgia's law, which is more liberal than Delaware's, is still, you know, Jim Crow 2.0, has been debunked even by the liberal media, and yet he and Kamala Harris and others repeat it. And I think that's what I was trying to get at here, is that we're living in this bizarre world where people are putting forward narratives that are demonstrably false, and the rest of us are embracing these narratives, despite the fact that we know they're not correct.
So, Peter, I have a different perspective on this regarding this election vulnerabilities. Out here in Colorado, Colorado has automatic voter registration when anybody gets a new driver's license. And actually, illegal immigrants can get driver's licenses here in Colorado. So that opens up the opportunity for some voter fraud. And then what we have seen out here in Colorado, again, we have a trifecta of a Democrat Senate a Democrat House of Representatives and a Democrat governor. And so there have been movements to work to clean up voter rolls. And the U.S. Right. Election Integrity Plan has been working on that. And I really, when we see things that have happened regarding trying to get down to voter irregularities, or election irregularities in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Arizona, there's a lot of work that's being done here in Colorado. I do not think that we can unequivocally say that that Biden won and Trump lost. And so I appreciate your thoughts on that. I know that there's been mainstream media that has said that they debunked that. But Peter, what, and I thought a lot about this, is the election occurred, and I thought it was odd the night of the election where some of these states, they shut down counting. You know, we've seen videos of odd things. I'll say odd things that have happened. And it takes a while when something occurs to really pull the proof out. So the immediate narrative that there's nothing to see here, move on. I'm getting cynical enough that I'm like, that seems a little too fervent in that. So I'm not in the same camp as you regarding this election integrity thing, Peter.
Well, I mean, two things. One is, I agree with you that there were plenty of shenanigans, okay? And in fact, at Real Clear Investigations, where I work, we did some early reporting in 2018 and 2019 about Texas, which is one of the few states that actually semi-aggressively looks into voter fraud. And they found lots of it. I live in North Carolina, and I wrote a column because there was a famous case here with the Mark Harris election where it got overturned because of ballot harvesting by Republicans. But what was interesting was the ballot harvesting occurred in the primary. Hundreds of fraudulent votes got Mark Harris the Republican nomination. Nobody said anything, even though it was impossible that he would have gotten these votes. So my point being that there's no mechanism in place, here's where I agree with you, for the Board of Elections to review votes and say something weird is going on. You have to have somebody else complain about it. There's not a mechanism in place to police the votes. I also agree with you, you know, in Georgia and Pennsylvania, where absentee ballots are usually rejected at 2 to 4%, they rejected in 2020 less than 0.5% of those votes, which means everything went through. I totally agree with you about that. I'm just saying that the argument that for sure it was stolen from him has not, through our normal mechanisms, been established. And
okay.
I think that...
And I think that's a
good
point.
And the other thing... Yeah, and the point that I was really trying to also make in the column is, I don't think that we should just ignore that. I think that we need to, which a lot of these bills are doing, is address election reform. But if you are if you're Trump, you know, what you need to do is say, the election was rigged, it was stolen from me, but I'm moving on. And I'm going to win. I'm not going to win in 2024 by relitigating 2020. I'm going to win in 2024 by saying, Biden's doing a crummy job in China. He's doing a crummy job with the Ukraine, where Russia's about to invade. He's doing a crummy job with the economy. Be forward just from a practical standpoint. And that's where the psychodrama comes in, that he can't let go of that when it is not in his interest and it's not in the interest of the party. That would be, if he ran again, that would be the only way he would lose, is if he made 2020 the issue rather than 2025 and forward, in my opinion.
Okay. And this is so fascinating, Peter Zane. We're going to go to break. I'm talking with Peter Zane. He is about this piece that he's recently written, The Psychodrama of American Politics. He writes at Real Clear Politics. Before we go to break, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is another great sponsor of the show. They are located, family-owned business, located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And if you're getting a wedding gift, a birthday gift, and your person is a chef, they've got great knives for the kitchen there. Or if you're person is a sportsman, great knives there, or a collector, be sure and check out Castlegate.com. It's Castlegate Knife and Tools. That's Castlegate.com. We'll be right back with this super interesting conversation with Peter Zane. Stay tuned.
Three Points Financial is a fiduciary financial planning company focused on helping individuals and families. Mary Alpers and Steve Kruse at Three Points Financial specialize in investment strategies, tax planning and preparation, and retirement planning with no product sales or commissions. Tax laws have changed and will continue to change. Inflation is real. Three Points Financial helps you maneuver through these changes to achieve your financial success. For clarity and a solid, relevant financial and investment plan, while working with a company that puts your interests at the forefront, schedule a no-obligation initial consultation at threepointsfinancial.com. That's threepointsfinancial.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Peter Zane, and he is an award-winning journalist, columnist at Real Clear Politics, and also at the News and Observer of Raleigh. And Peter, this has been very thought-provoking for me, and the discussion that we had about moving on, I hear what you're saying. We need to move on. We need to look to the future, I think, is the important point. But I don't think that we can discount the past of what happened. We have to make sure that we see what had happened in this last election, because we owe it to ourselves, we owe it to our country, that we have free, fair, and honest elections, excuse me. So I think what I don't think we disagree on that. I think we agree on that. Correct, Peter?
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. But I think what you're saying is, instead of focusing on the past, we need to fix what happened and move to the future. Yes?
Well, here's what I would say is that at this point, you know, most of the mechanisms for reviewing the votes have been exhausted. And so if, in fact, they didn't match signatures correctly, that's very hard to prove at this point. You know, in other words, a lot of the shenanigans that went on, you know, you in Pennsylvania, that they didn't reject certain ballots, you know, to actually prove at this point that hundreds of thousands of people, you know, didn't fill out their own ballots or whatever, Trump and his people have done the best they could to try to establish that. And if it hasn't at this point, I think that it's going to be hard for you to then say to demonstrate those things. I think that the larger thing of looking forward, and one of the things I tried to get at is that we are all, we're part of little groups now. It used to be that the sports metaphor applied. I'm a Yankees fan, you're a Red Sox fan. And so when there's a play at the plate, I'm sure the guy's out and you're sure the guy's safe. Now we are the Israelis and the Palestinians. And the other side is beyond the pale. That's what we've been told. I know so many Democrat friends who I've talked to about critical race theory and, you know, Biden and so forth, and they're like, I agree with you. This is really troubling, but I cannot vote for Republicans because they're racist, evil, greedy people. So they, you know, accept the narrative. And that makes it hard for them to actually think about and react to what their side is doing. And I think that goes on to some extent on the right as well. And I think what we need to do as thoughtful, rational people is say our leaders are not being straight with us. The media is not being straight with us. And I'm going to be skeptical about what everybody's telling me, because I'm a thoughtful adult, to do the best job I can. And it's hard because so much of the media is, you know, whatever you read is in one direction or the other, to try to think for myself to figure out what's really going on here.
Well, and I think that that is really the method of tyranny and despots is to create so much confusion that, as you mentioned, rational people that are searching for truth and clarity, that there's so much confusion that it's difficult to find that. And it's so interesting, Peter, that you would bring up that sports metaphor, because, again, as I was reading your piece, I was thinking there was a comedian many years ago, he said that I used to be a real sports hound. I love sports, but it takes so much time. I'm not anymore, but I love it. But he said something about, we root for the clothes. And I was thinking about Tom Brady. Everybody in New England loved Tom Brady until he changed his clothes. And that's kind of what it is with Democrats and Republicans, that we're cheering for the clothes. Or, you know, everybody has a sticker, well, many people, on the back of their cars, my child's going to whatever college it is. And so people are cheering for the clothes, if you will, instead of what I think you're trying to challenge us is to really understand the issues and not cheer for the moniker, but the big moniker of this American idea is what we really need to preserve. Correct?
Exactly, and it's something actually that we all agree on. I mean, I think another, you know, point that's very troubling is that it's the best among us, to a great extent. It's the people who pay the most attention to politics, who read the most, you know, who are the worst. You know, you get the extremes are among the most committed people on either side. And you actually, you know, the savior of America, besides the fact that for all of our differences, we really do mostly believe in the rule of law. We mostly do respect, you know, the Supreme Court and what it's done and so forth. You know, we accept even the results of the election. For all that Trump's complaining or Stacey Abrams or, you know, Biden's president, Trump was installed in 2016, but I think that the problem is that the best among us, the people who control the narrative, are constantly feeding us misinformation. They're lying to us, and so it's difficult when you turn on the news. And that's why, for instance, I mean, I have taken two shots and a booster. The vaccine works. I understand people who feel that they were lied to about lockdowns, lied to about the effectiveness of masks, seen what's happened with their children, or just like, I don't believe anything they say. But, you know, being mistrustful of what they're saying and not getting a shot, you know, that is proven effective. That's what I'm saying. That would be like the divide. It's like, yeah, I'm totally skeptical of what
Anthony Fauci
says.
And I am totally skeptical of what Fauci says, and we're not going to have time. We're probably going to have you back to talk about this. But when you make the statement that the vaccines work, I'm saying, now wait a minute. I know people that are double vaxxed, are boosted, and they have gotten COVID. So to me, that says that the vaccines don't work. And so you can, you know, have your thoughts on that. I have my thoughts on that. But where we get into the real problem is where people want to use government to force something onto other people. If you have done your research and you believe that that's right for you, more power to you. But I see it differently, and I don't think government should be forcing. This would be a great conversation. We only have 2 minutes left. How would you like to respond,
sure,
Peter?
What I would say is that almost all of the people who have been hospitalized are unvaccinated and who are on ventilators or having serious things. My daughter, who is young and triple shot, got three shots, just had COVID. You can get it, but it protects you against it. But what I would also say is that I would rather live in a country where the illness is being spread by people who are unvaccinated than live in a country where people are forced to put something into their body. I think that the freedom to control your body in that way is more important than what I see as the clear health benefits of getting the vaccine. So I agree with you. The fundamental thing is the freedom, and you can't lose. That's more important.
Well, and again, the fundamental freedom. And Peter, once again, I would say I don't think we can make the statement that it's the unvaccinated who's spreading it, because people that are getting COVID.
I'm not saying spreading it. What I'm saying is that the data shows that the unvaccinated are much more likely to get severely sick.
Okay, Peter, you and I are going to have some more conversations. Unfortunately,
sure.
we're out of time.
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I really appreciate you joining us. And this is Peter Zane. The piece that we've been talking about is The Psychodrama of American Politics. Peter, thank you so much, and we'll have you on again.
Thank you. So stimulating. It's really great to exchange ideas. I appreciate it.
Oh, most definitely. That's what it's supposed to be like in America.
Yes,
and so my
exactly.
And so our quote for the end of the day is by Louisa May Alcott. And she said this. She said, prove that you understand the worth of time by employing it well. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want